You're listening to the Study Clicks podcast, your number one source for junior cycle and leaving cert tips. We make exams easier. Hello and welcome back to the Study Clicks podcast. I'm Luke and I'm joined by Andy and Aaron, the usual suspects on the podcast these days. We're all on the social media team for Study Clicks, so you've probably seen us either on TikTok or Instagram. Andy actually was on the radio the other day. One of his TikToks
went viral.
Yeah. So he's like, I don't know, he's too famous for us now.
That's my name, guys. Conveniently. Andy, in case anyone's wondering. Yeah, let's get that name out there. Push it. Famous.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So I feel like that's kind of a great segue into what we're actually talking about today. Andy's video was about the Irish orals, although I will say I hope that what Andy said in the video doesn't make its way into your Irish oral. Like, that probably wouldn't be great. But we're going to be talking in general about kind of how to deal with the nerves associated with oral exams, not just for Irish. We spoke recently, well, Andy and Aaron did, spoke recently about the Irish oral specifically and just kind of tips for the oral. But this is kind of right across the board and can honestly be applied to pretty much anything, like practicals and everything, kind of anything in person, on the spot exam. So yeah, we're going to kind of just discuss kind of A, how to not get too nervous before the oral exam, B, how to not like lose your cool in the oral exam due to nerves, and then C, kind of a bit of like aftercare, not being too harsh on yourself after the exams. I myself, I'll come clean, didn't do an oral exam because I'm an ancient relic and mine got cancelled for COVID. Yeah. But Andy and Aaron are the experts on this. So I don't know, guys. So Aaron, you did yours most recently. Are there any kind of like, what do you remember about the couple of weeks/days approaching your oral exam? You did obviously Irish and Spanish, was it?
I did, yeah.
Spanish. So how did you kind of balance the two of them and preparing for both of them simultaneously without accidentally speaking one or the other in your exam?
Yeah, that is tricky. Yeah, I always found that I used to mix up really easily between the two languages, but maybe that was just me, which is weird because I have spoken Spanish since birth, pretty much. But I used to find myself speaking Irish instead.
Speak everything. Yeah.
Just a little flex there. I've spoken Spanish since birth. Yeah. Okay.
Any other ones you want to drop Spanish in?
No, I actually did junior cert French.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Of course you did, Aaron.
Anyways, but I give that up because I don't know. Anyway, it was just handier. But yeah, it's definitely difficult having the two so close together. Like, I think my I had my Spanish on the Saturday and my Irish on the Monday, I think it was. So it was like 2 days of a gap. I had like one little day to in between to kind of restructure your kind of thought process towards it. The one thing I will say is the orals are kind of laid out very differently. Like, the Irish one, I think, is a lot more kind of systematic. Like, it's very kind of, there's a format involved, you know, like you do one thing, you do the next, and so on. Whereas I think for Spanish, anyways, I think some of the other languages have kind of more specific things involved, but with Spanish, the only kind of extra thing beyond conversation is we had like a little role play at the end. But apart from that, it was very much just kind of like chatting. So in that sense, it was kind of, I don't know, it was like, it was nice to have the difference, because for Irish there was a lot of emphasis on kind of learning things off, and that was kind of, I suppose, stressful. But yeah, it was nice to have that kind of bit of variety there. And honestly, it's kind of just, you don't want to like, it's hard to kind of, because you're trying to like cram all this information into your head at once, like for the two subjects, and it can get a lot. But I think it's really just about you know, doing bits of each and just kind of not cramming your head too much with each one.
Yeah, I think that would be something I'd struggle with, like having to do two. I would just constantly prioritize. I have this even now, like moving on, like college exams after college, I always prioritize the thing that comes first, like as in it's like actually the worst thing you can possibly do. So say for example, if I had like my French oral on a Monday and my Spanish one on, who does French and Spanish for leaving cert? Nobody. But anyway, and you had the Spanish one on a Tuesday. Yeah. If anyone was going to, she'd be on this call. No, but like, do you know what I mean? I would always study for the French one more just because it's first. And then afterwards, I'm like, oh, well now what? Like, I have mm-hmm. one evening to do all the work I spent a week for. What about you, Andy? Yeah. Did you do two languages or do you have to? Do you have, it depends on what you want to study, I suppose, in college and stuff.
Yeah, I think it depends. I chose German. So we've got a little bit of everything here. This is great.
Yeah, we do actually.
Yeah, I did German and Irish. I can't quite remember. I think they were close enough for me as well. I was lucky in the sense that I felt like I was a lot, I don't know if it, like some people will have, they feel like they're at a similar level in both of them, but I felt like I was at a much higher level in German than I was at Irish. So I was able to kind of focus on Irish more and put German a little bit more in the back burner because I felt more confident. So that might happen for some people, which is very handy. Yeah, but I didn't, I know a lot of people struggled with what Aaron said of, you know, mixing up the two languages, or like in the middle you'd be thinking in one language or something like that, but that never happened to me, luckily. But yeah, I don't know, if it's a tough one to balance. All right,
yeah, and they happen, everyone's happened, so I mean the furthest apart they'll ever be is like a week probably, and you'd be very lucky in that sense.
Yeah,
so I feel like that's something that when you're kind of preparing, when you're, especially now, like, so anyone who's listening to this like and has their oral next week or the week after, I suppose right now the thing would be to not prioritize one over the other, even if you feel like you might be way stronger, like don't completely neglect the other, because then, you know, maybe if the one that you tried really, really hard for, it didn't go to plan, and then you're there like, oh, well, actually, I've put all my time into this one. Like that happens across the board in a lot of exams as well. And I think that actually happens with a lot of the written exams too. People put a lot of emphasis on the ones that are in the first week, like English and stuff. And then the next week when they're doing some of their choice subjects, they're like, oh boy, like I did not prepare. In terms of nerves, how bad were you? I'll start with you, Andy, actually. How bad were your nerves kind of, let's say, the week before, the night before? Like, are you kind of a person who gets extremely nervous, like quick, like a far time away, and then the closer it gets, you're like, oh, okay, well, there's not much I can do? Or are you kind of a last minute, like sweating kind of?
Yeah, I think probably the latter. I was always quite good at, I think it never hit me until I was literally outside the room when I'd get like a little bit of a hit in my stomach in that kind of way. Yeah, no, I was quite lucky. I mean, I never really got too nervous in advance, but yeah, I always try to focus on when I was outside the room, because you're always thinking of all the things, you know, you don't know, and they could ask me that, or they could ask me this. I've always tried to, like my teachers always said, it's always worth focusing on what you do know, and all these things, yes, I don't know, but all these things I do know. So these are the things that are my strengths, and that's what I'm going to continue to go back to if I can, because in the Irish oral especially, you can really direct the conversation. So a lot of it, I feel like, is in your control. And you have to remember as well, I feel like a lot of people, straight away as they get asked a question, they feel like they have to answer straight away. Like they have to go straight in with like, it's prepared, it's ready in your mind, whereas a normal conversation doesn't even happen like that. I think a lot of people need to, like, if they're asked a question, that they the answer or the words don't come to them instantly. Take a second to breathe and go, yeah, I think, and then kind of go like that, a little bit like my Irish oral TikTok video, really, not quite to that extent, but yeah, take a little bit more time, because I feel like when you're getting nervous and you've so much adrenaline, because, you know, it's like this thing that only happens once, and it's like 10 minutes, you know, it's done, and your body's like kind of going 90, so it's really easy to go really quick and try and stumble over things and leave out things or mess up tenses or anything like that. So take a second and breathe, I think, was what I was always trying to do, was like, even box breathing outside the room, whatever you need to do to try to get your heart rate down, literally.
What about you, Aaron? Were you kind of a someone who, I don't know, the way I am, I kind of get very nervous for something a long time in advance for it, like as in ridiculously far in advance, I get nervous for it. And then the closer it gets, I kind of lose a bit of the nerves. And then the morning of, I actually feel like I could probably vomit in the waiting room. So like it could be, I don't know, it kind of is a bit of a mixture for me. What about you, Aaron? Like, how do you kind of cope with nerves leading up to an exam?
Yeah, I get that. I was very, very nervous coming up to the orals. I was like, I don't know, the whole day before, just like absolutely hyperventilating. I'm not even going to lie to you. but like, I don't know. I mean, I think it's just kind of having to remind yourself, like, okay, like, we're all in this together, not to be cliche, but like,
High School Musical.
Musical, here we go.
Come on.
Everybody's doing the same thing. And it's like a 15-minute conversation that's going to be over before you know it. But yeah, I was definitely not the best at telling myself things like that. A year ago, I was very in my head about it. Don't really know why, to be honest. I think it's just, honestly, there is just a lot of pressure put on the oral, especially like, you know, for Irish, it's 40% of your grade. For languages, I think it's 25. So it is a big chunk, and it's hard, I think, not to kind of get worked up about that. It was for me anyways. But yeah, but I was thinking about that actually recently, because I had an Irish oral actually yesterday in college, and I was like, oh my god, it's so funny thinking back to a year ago and comparing it to how, like, how nervous I was then to how I feel now, because I had not the slightest bit of nerves going in. It was crazy. Yeah, I don't know, just it's interesting to look back on. But yeah, no, I was very nervous when I was in Even Cert.
Yeah, I mean, it's understandable. Like, at the end of the day, you are, you know, it's even though, like what you said, Andy, it's kind of just, it's just a conversation, and a conversation has like push and pull, and there's waiting and there's thinking and there's, like, you know, formulating a sentence. Like, it just is so artificial. Like, I mean, in what scenario would you walk into maybe like a job where you have to, like an interview or something, but, you know, you're like in a classroom or something that you've probably done classes in before, like in a tiny office, and you go in and you shake this person's hand, like, you know, and like you state your like exam number. It's just, the whole thing is quite artificial. So it's kind of hard to like remember that at the end of the day, like, you're just speaking and they're speaking back to you. But I think you both touched on a really important point there, which was kind of focus on what you definitely know rather than like the kind of variables that could change. So yeah, okay, they could ask you a question that you're like, I have no idea. But, you know, the Shaw Pictors are always going to be the same. Or like, I know there's kind of versions of the Shaw Pictor in every exam. I know, Aaron, you were saying like Spanish is a little bit, I don't know, like freer with that. Like, it's very conversation heavy, but there is always that one thing like that you can bring up, like whether it's something you bring in yourself. I know for French, I don't know if they still do, but there was like the document, you bring that in and like you show them. So. Yeah, I think that was it. You know, there's always something that you can kind of lean on that's going to be somewhat familiar to you, and to kind of focus on that rather than think about like, oh, what if they ask me the like most niche topic ever. But you do get to kind of steer the conversation, don't you? Like, you kind of get
you're not obligated to answer a question. Like, if you didn't know the answer to a question in English, like, you're not gonna come up with some waffly answer just for the sake of it. Like, you're just gonna say, oh, I don't know much about that, sorry. Like, it's very much up to you, honestly. Like, a lot of people get kind of intimidated by that, or they kind of feel like they have to answer something, which is fair. You know, obviously you're being asked a question by an examiner, you're not going to immediately be like, oh, I'm just going to do what I want instead. But it's like, you do have that liberty. Like, you can so easily say like, oh, I don't have much of an interest in this, but I'd like to talk about this. Or like, you, like, the conversation can just naturally flow that way as well. And if you're making a point to talk about things that do interest you, like, the examiner more than likely will also latch onto that. Like, they're not gonna really, like, it's like, I didn't get asked anything really unusual in any of my orals, I don't think. Like, I'm pretty sure my Spanish one, we just talked about like my hobbies for nearly all of it, and then for Irish it was really just what I brought up, and like, I don't know, it just was an interesting conversation, and the examiner just kind of kept going with that. So I don't know, I'd say. And also, if you do get asked like a kind of weird question, like, don't get bogged down by it. Like, you're obviously being asked it because the examiner thinks that you're in a good place to be able to do so, to answer it. Like, you do have a lot more control over the conversation than you do realize. So I think just keeping that in mind.
Yeah, it's like, if you go in there and like you say that you're like, you have a niche hobby or interest in something really random, like you play a really random instrument or something, like, you can't be surprised then when they turn around and ask you like questions about it, you know. So while that's true, so is the opposite. So if you avoid talking about things you don't want to talk about, say if you had a specific topic you had learned an essay for and you knew loads of vocab, like, I don't know, like young people in Ireland or any of those kind of like buzzword essays, and you wanted to bring that into your oral, like, there's 100% ways that you can do that and weave it in, but there's also ways that you can absolutely avoid that. That's okay, Andy, don't you worry. Hay fever.
I've never had such a, like, such a sneeze that I thought was going to be a sneeze and then wasn't anything. That was crazy. My body like did the sneeze, but nothing happened.
it knew you were recording.
Leaving Cert Irish can be tough, but StudyClick's Irish Boost makes it easier. Over 140 exam-focused video lessons covering grammar, essay writing, and oral prep, along with 300-plus interactive exercises to sharpen your skills. It's everything you need to feel confident heading into Paper 1 and 2. And for podcast listeners, here's €10 off. Just use podcast10 at checkout. Go to studyclicks.ie and get the extra help you need before the Leaving Cert.
Okay, and then in terms of, like, what about like in the actual exam? Like, I feel like adrenaline actually takes a lot, does a lot of the work for you when you're in an exam situation like that. Like, I know anytime I did French in college, so I had to do like two orals a year, not the best experiences of my life, I'll be honest. But, you know, some of them were a bit longer than others, but all of them felt about 4 seconds long. Like, they do genuinely fly. I found anyway. Is that something you would have thought too?
Yeah, definitely. You're honestly in and out. Like, it goes so much faster than you think. And I feel like, especially in Irish, the fact that there's so many things, so many different sections, like, you find yourself progressing through them really fast. Like, or even in my Spanish one, because I remember, like, the role plays at the very end, and it got to the point that she, like, pulled out the card to do the role play, and I was like, what do you mean? It's over already? That's crazy. Yeah, you're just chatting away, and, like, you know, everything that they're asking you is just to fill the time. Like, you're only in there for, what, like, 10, 15 minutes. It's not a super, super long period of time. But, like, it can seem like a really long amount of time when you just hear that yourself. You're like, how am I going to talk for 10 15 minutes? But it goes a lot faster than you think, and, like, you're in and out, and then it's over, and then you'd never have to think about it again.
Yeah, that's a huge thing, just, like, literally leaving and being like, if you don't want to, you never have to speak whatever language you just spoke ever again. And obviously it'd be great to keep going with it, but, you know, like, if it really did traumatize you, like, it really is just for the sake of that 15 minutes that literally feels like 5. I don't know, as well, I find one thing that can kind of make it go feel like it goes longer is if you trip up over your word, like I just did that, and I'm speaking English and I'm not in oral. If you trip over your words, or if you, like, make an obvious mistake, or a mistake that, like, you just kick yourself for because it's not something you usually, I don't know, it's just something that you've kind of, you feel like you've let yourself down, that can kind of stick with you. I don't know, things in my French orals in college, like, anytime I made a mistake, I kind of was like, well, I wasn't that surprised. But, like, you know, it's kind of that stuff that you remember. You don't remember all the good stuff. How do you deal with, in the exam, like, in live time, making a mistake and having to, like, kind of cover your own tracks, or trying to not let it throw you off?
Well, you can correct yourself. And the examiners do, I think, usually prefer if you do correct yourself. Like, if you make a mistake, you can easily be like, excuse me, and just say what you meant to say. Like, if you do cop it in the moment. But even if you don't, and it's something you kind of realize later on, or it's something that you just kind of, like, move over and hope that they didn't realize, like, it can very easily eat away at you. But, like, I think, it, you know, it's such a small, probably, like, 2 seconds out of the whole 15 minutes or however long it is. Like, the examiner, like, a lot of the marks as well, I think, go for your communication rather than, like, I think accuracy is obviously an important factor, but a lot of it just goes for how you come across and how you participate in the conversation. And I think when there's so many different aspects to the oral, there's no point beating yourself up about one little mistake that you might have made, or a couple, because the examiner mightn't have noticed, or they mightn't have taking it to be as bad of a thing as you think it is. Like, there's a million different ways that they mark it. So I think, just honestly, you're the best to just put it out of your head and focus on whatever is left for you to do and just make it up.
What do you think, Andy? Do you, like, in terms of, I don't know if you experience it in either of your orals, but kind of making mistakes there and then, like, what goes through your head in that moment? You're going to tell me now you never made any mistakes.
Yeah, it is difficult. I find the same thing now in my own degree. Like, if I'm doing, I do acting in my degree, and if you're doing a scene or something where you've got all these lines learned, and if you slightly mess up a line, or if you slightly deliver a line weirdly, it's the same way, I think, in the oral, or if you say something the wrong way, then it's easy to just think about that for the rest of the oral. And you can be like, 4 minutes down the line, you're actually talking about something completely different, and you're like, God, why did I mess that up earlier? And then you're actually, the Irish you're doing, or the German you're doing, whatever you're doing, is suffering because of that, because you're not fully focusing on what you're doing. So it is very easy to do that. And then, as we'll get on to, like, coming out of the exam, that is the one thing you'll focus on, is the one little mistake you made, and you won't think about all the, oh, well, this part of the conversation I was actually really good in, and I actually used my tenses really well here. So yeah, it's very easy to get bogged down in that, but, like, I would go, right, that just happened, that's grand, let's move on to the rest of it, and I can think about that after. But even then, like, you can't change it, so there's no point in going over and over it in your head, you know.
Yeah, there's no point letting that one mistake kind of dictate how you do moving on in the exam, you know, like, exactly.
Your,
like,
opinion of it, like,
leave that where it is, and don't let it kind of affect the rest of the questions you're being asked or you're answering. What about, like, Aaron, you kind of talked about this a second ago about being able, I feel like people don't realize that The examiner isn't like a machine that's just going to say to you like a question, and if you don't understand, they're just going to like shake their head and be like, gosh, what is wrong with you? Like, you can ask an examiner to rephrase it. You can ask, that's like, honestly, that's one thing that I would 100% be looking at like the night before. I'd be looking at ways of saying, oh, can you say that again? Can you slow down? Mm-hmm. Can you, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, or could you rephrase that for me? Like, that's a huge thing. And people don't realize that you can actually ask the examiner to just say the question in a different way.
Of course, like, they don't expect you to be fluent by any means. They will appreciate more than anything if you make the effort to be like, oh, like, could you say that differently? I didn't really catch what you said, rather than if you just kind of go along with it for the sake of it and end up giving an answer that's like not really quite right. You do, honestly. It, and it's hard to think of in the moment, because obviously you're going to want to seem like you know what you're talking about and like you have no doubts about the whole thing. But yeah, like, you're not, like, chances are you're not going to be, you know, fluent or maybe even super comfortable in the language you're speaking. Like, you want to make it as easy as possible for yourself. The examiner understands that. More than likely, they're a teacher that has their own students who are doing the exact same thing as you are right now. They'll probably, a lot of them, be in the exact same situation. Like, you know, they're just trying to help you get through it. So if you can, like, you have full liberty, you won't get doc marks for asking for the question again or for saying that you don't understand it or that you don't know anything about it. Like, it's honestly, you have a lot more, like, it's so fine to not be sure of what's happening, and I think it's better to acknowledge that than to kind of just get out what you can for the sake of it and risk kind of messing up or losing marks because you're not too sure what you're talking about.
Yeah, like, the exam, I know every single teacher says this ever, but like, the examiner isn't trying to catch you out. They also have like no idea who you are, what your level of Irish is, you know, like, they're it's not your teacher examining you. It's not someone who knows that you could do better or knows that, you know, if your teacher was examining you afterwards, she'd be like, oh, well, actually, you said this, but really, you should have said that because I know you know that. This examiner doesn't know anything about you. They're just there to like test how you are in a conversation, test that you've prepared well enough, but they're not trying to catch you out in any way.
No.
A lot of people as well, they get bogged down, like, after, I know I'd spoken at the start that we were going to kind of discuss, like, well, we kind of touched on it there when we were talking about tripping up in the exam, but like, I know people can really overthink things like orals and practicals. Like, myself and Aaron were talking about it in the last episode of, you know, messing up a little bit and then like literally not being able to stop thinking, you know, you get like, you wake up in a cold sweat like a year later because you're traumatized by it. Like, Andy, do you have any like kind of, because you'd spoken even in your degree and stuff, there are kind of aspects that you can mess up, let's say, on the spot, and they're kind of, you can't undo. It's not like you can just tip exit out. How do you kind of deal with those little bits that you're not happy with, and how do you move forward from them, like, after the exam? I'm talking like the next day, the coming weeks.
Yeah, I guess it's what I kind of touched on. It's just literally you can't change it. So I suppose there's no point in keep continuing to dwell on it, because it's not like something where you're going to be doing another oral in 2 weeks where, okay, well, I can work on that to improve on it. It's like, okay, maybe if there's something that I messed up there that maybe might apply in some way to my written exam with a tense or a phrase that I missed that I can then use in writing where, okay, that's something I can learn from. But really, there's no point in overanalyzing it because you will probably never have to do it again. So if anything, I'd celebrate that fact and treat the fact of like, well, I just absolutely messed that one bit up. But hey, I'm going to laugh about it in like a year and tell my brother or my sister or, you know, their friends that like, well, I said this in my exam. And then like, it's going to become a funny thing. It's not going to become a thing of, God, a year down the line, if I did that, I might have got a H4 instead of a H5. That's not.
Yeah.
Those things don't happen. Like, forget about it. It's done. Celebrate the fact that you are done. Don't worry about anything else.
Yeah, that's like great advice, to be honest. I feel like everyone should, but that's the case, and it applies to like every exam that you sit. There's really no point dwelling on it, and it's so easy to do. I had a point there actually. Now that I said that was great, Andy. That was really inspiring.
Yeah.
that makes me want to pass.
Go reflect.
There's loads of great TikToks there as well. Yeah,
I actually, and that's what I was going to say. For people, I think one of the most scary and daunting things about the orals is that people don't know what to expect, because obviously, okay, they've obviously sat a mock oral, probably they've heard their friends talk about, I know everyone's heard like ridiculous stories of people like messing up and speaking French and like, or just like crazy stuff accidentally, like basically the exact what Andy was describing in his TikTok that he made. This TikTok is getting serious airtime, Andy. I'm really between
there's
the podcast
a part two up, by the way, there's a part two up last night, everyone go look at it.
Everyone, go like.
We'll get it on. We'll have a TV this time for the radio.
Yeah, I know. RT News. No, but we've actually posted, and it's part of Irish Boost, StudyFlex Irish Boost. There is a full recorded mock oral that literally is like if you were a fly on a wall in an oral situation. And we've posted multiple clips on social media as well to give people an idea. And I really think that is a great resource because it kind of breaks down that kind of, I don't know, it just kind of breaks down that wall and you kind of feel like you're sitting in the room with them and kind of you better know what to expect. Because I don't know, I would get bogged down on the most random things, like awkward things like, oh, should I like shake their hand? Or like, when do I tell them my exam number? You know what I mean? Like it's those little things that you don't practice for. Like that's not in the Irish book. And that kind of those awkward interactions at the start, like how do you end? Like do you just walk out? Like I just, that sort of stuff. Like I know it sounds ridiculous because it's like obviously you're not getting graded on it, but like it's just, well, it can really knock your confidence if you don't know what you're doing going into it. So I definitely recommend having a look at that. And just kind of like, even like me telling you to listen to this podcast that I'm listening to right now, but talk to people about their own experiences in the orals and kind of break down that stigma around it of like this big scary thing. Because at the end of the day, like Andy says, more often than not, like the things you hear about the orals will be like funny stories that people tell in a kind of fun, nostalgic way, not in like the, like I had the most horrific experience of my entire life. Like, you know, there's a lot of like sketches and stuff out there about the orals that kind of Andy's TikTok.
My TikTok, sorry. If Nessa said that like all the demographic on my TikTok was like 40-year-olds or 50-year-olds or 30-year-old parents who like were like, oh, I did my oral in 1987 and that's exactly how it was. Laughing emojis, like people laughing and joking at it, not going,
yeah,
you've just ruined my life bringing that up again. Yeah. Why would you do that?
The that's oral exam is not your downfall.
Yeah,
no, I promise. No one's actual downfall in life was the oral exam. Someone whose downfall in life was the oral exam is listening to this right now.
Yeah.
It's not the oral, it was the written. Sorry. So I suppose, okay, it's very soon now. Like, for people who are listening to this kind of in real time, it is quite soon. So, do either of you have any like last minute tips for like, let's say, the week before / night before? Would you guys? Actually, how would you practice for something like that? Say, especially if you didn't have somebody that spoke the language in your house, would you just kind of talk to yourself?
Yeah, honestly, yeah. I talk to myself a lot. in
just
both
for the
languages.
Just for the oral.
Just for the oral. Yeah. But it does help. Like, I just kind of, I don't know, even like, because I had some of my friends I used to, I just like send them voice notes like rambling about my day, but I just do it in Irish instead of in English, or like little things like that. Or even I used to, like, in terms of improving your kind of general standard of language, I used to really like listening to podcasts in or like watching like TV shows or whatever in like the language that you are doing the oral in, because I think that's just a natural way to kind of build up vocab or whatever, or like just kind of get it into your head last minute, because I find it's good to kind of put yourself into that mode of just like surrounding yourself with the language, because it makes it a lot easier to then engage with it and to I suppose speak it yourself. And then as well as that, something that did help me was I used to like I used to listen to the poems a lot, like recordings of those, and sometimes I'd record myself doing the short pictures or whatever and try and just kind of recite them back to myself. Like, a lot of it, yeah, honestly, was just kind of talking to myself in one way or another, but like, and it sounds so silly, but it does actually work. I thought it worked because you're just practicing, you know, like you're practicing whatever topics you might even want to talk about. Like, just go on a rant to yourself and see how much you can come out with. Like, obviously it's a lot easier if you do have somebody with you to ask questions or whatever, but like, if you can just come up with the topics in your head, I think honestly that's the best way to go about it. And also I would say, coming up to just kind of the like week before it, a few days before it, don't make that the time to try and like cram loads of new information that you think you may or may not be asked. Like, at that point, it's like what Andy said earlier, like, focus on what you do know, focus on perfecting that, and just, you know, have your things that, like, if this comes up, I would be comfortable talking about them. Don't like waste time kind of, you know, half learning other things that like may or may not come up realistically. Do you know, like, you're having a conversation, to talk about things, to talk about yourself. Like, you're literally talking about yourself in the oral and things that interest you. So focus on things that you want to focus on, and just honestly don't stress about what could or could not happen, because it's not worth it. And once it's done, like, it's all out of your head, and you know, you don't have to relive the Leaving Cert oral ever again. So I would say, yeah, that's how I look at it.
Do you have similar sentiments, Andy?
Yeah, pretty much the same. I mean, I remember Aaron said in our last podcast, was just surrounding yourself with Irish and, you know, just flicking on whatever show you normally watch, if you're able to watch that in Irish, or, you know, as we said, there's Shrek in Irish is great, and, you know, things like that. But yeah, no, literally, I think I did for German. I don't think I did it for Irish, but I did audio record myself, like, having the conversation and stuff. And I went for walks, like, with my dog, and I just listened to it in my ear. Whether that helped me or not, I don't know. But I like to think that it did. And it could,
or you just love the sound of your own voice. It's one of those.
Yeah. It's also a way of breaking up your study, is like, because if you're doing everything in the last week, just everything writing everything down or the same, everything feels the same. If you want to go for a break and you're still kind of, it makes it feel really good because you still feel like you're learning, or you still feel like you're being productive, but you're actually still kind of relaxing. You don't have to actually be like really engaged while you're listening. Just hearing it, I think, does have an effect. So something like that, I think, is a good thing to do in the last week or two as well.
Yeah, well, you heard it here first, guys. Talk to yourself and watch Shrek. That's the key.
Absolutely.
To passing all of your orals. That's how it's gonna go. No, but I actually think you did touch on some really, really great tips there, especially kind of last minute. Well, not last minute, I mean a week or so is plenty of time to do some last minute preparation, but it's, you know, I feel like things will stand to you that you've been doing throughout the year, not just oral prep, but also, like, think about all the things you've learned while prepping essays for your exam, and even just comprehensions, vocab, everything. It will all kind of stand to you in your exam. So just trying not get too bogged down in the unknowns, and instead focus, which is what we've said about 100 times in this podcast, but focus on what you do know. Thank you very much, guys. And for anyone who's sitting their orals, we all wish you the best of luck. And who knows? Yes. Maybe in 30 years' time, you'll be reacting to Andy's TikToks about how funny the orals are and laughing about it. And yeah, so don't forget, guys, actually, as well, that you can use podcast 10 to get €10 off any of the upgrades on the site as well. And we will see you in the next podcast. Bye.